Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Sean Preece.
Hello.
And Tim Schwartz.
Hello.
Yes, hello, 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 and welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for you if you're blind or visually impaired. We cover mainstream, specialized tech. If you're a geek or just interested in tech, we've got you covered. Because believe it or not, you can't know everything. And talking of not knowing anything, I'm not on my own. Here with me today is, of course, my friend and dear colleague from lifeafterblindness.com, Mr. Tim Schwartz. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Sean. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that I don't know anything or everything, or that you don't, or collectively we don't? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure myself. It's a long time since I've had to do an intro, so, you know, I'm winging it.
Yeah, you're doing wonderfully so far.
Thank you so much. As you may have noticed, that we are a little light today because we're missing Stephen Scott. He's not here. He's down in that there London covering a tech event. Well, that's what he says. I'm sure he's decimating a buffet down there. But yes, he is covering the Tech Share event down in London. So next week's show will be a Tech Share special. So look out for that one. But for now, it is just me, Sean Preece, and Tim. So bear with us. Stephen will be back. Aww. Anyway, in today's show, we're going to be talking all about the latest tech news and, of course, your emails. Our inbox is full again this week. We love them. Keep them coming. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But before we get into all that, Tim, I want to talk about money. Have you got any money left? Because we've done Black Friday, but now Cyber Monday. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't stand it. I don't know how Stephen's going to cope.
I think that's truly where Stephen is. He's in a Black Friday, Cyber Monday coma, and he's just, you know, baffled at how much money has escaped his bank account, his wallet, his credit cards. He made it very clear to tell us to say that he was on assignment. Yeah, he's either just on assignment, you know, wallowing in his loss of money, or at a buffet table in London, like you said. But no, I actually have, let me say this. I have some money left because I didn't have a lot of money to start with this year, unfortunately. So many good deals. The things that I have been able to pick up on have just been amazing. I'm joining the see how many Echo Dots that you can have in your house club.
Well done.
Trying to do that. So yeah, it's been such a great season, but it feels like, you know, it went from Black Friday to like Black Week and now Black Month. And next year, I think we're going to start buying things on Halloween. I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I want to say, oh, it's too long and it's not real deals. But the fact is, there are some savings to be made out there. And for Christmas, absolutely. You know, it's so tempting just to say, okay, I'll buy three of them and then I got Christmas covered. But yeah, you have got to be careful. There's it just never ends at the moment. But hey, who am I to complain? I've got three dots here that I'm loving.
Yeah, unlike some people, I don't have three dots in my household. I do have just two dots. I have a dot two that I purchased last year. Ugh, I know.
Terrible.
I know. But I have a dot three that I just purchased this year. It came with, basically, it was buy a dot three and get four tiles for free, the tile tracker devices you can get. I got four of those for free, which are fantastic. I recommend everyone who's got a visual impairment, get you a tile. Those are so good. Or the tracker or whatever version of it you want. But so I've added another dot. And now they were on sale for Cyber Monday, again, half price. And my wife said, we have enough. We don't need another one.
There's never enough.
That's what I tried to say.
I saw that deal on the tile and I am going to get them because, okay, I'm going into Stephen mode now because I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, just be careful on the analogies.
Okay? I know. No analogy. This week, it's an analogy-free zone, I'm telling you. This week, I put my wheelie bin out to be emptied and it's disappeared. Someone has stolen my bin. Now, there's something about going out there and feeling all around your drive and the walls outside trying to find your bin. It's a nightmare. And it's gone. Someone's stolen it. Now, I'm saying someone's stolen it. Of course, someone could have brought it in by accident. But I'm thinking if I put a tile or some sort of Bluetooth tracker on there, See, I can just set it off beeping and I can find it easy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's so nice because the distance is pretty good on them. And if you have it set up with the app on your smartphone, you can actually track it with crowdsourcing so you can see where its last position was. So even if it's not within beeping range, you can still track it and see where it's gone to. So I really like that.
So wheelie bin thief, I'm coming for you. I will find
He's
you.
He's coming.
I don't have money, but what I do have is a particular set of skills. I will take my wheelie bin back. Anyway, that's enough about that. Let's take a look at this week's tech news.
News from the internet.
I have control of the jingles. That feels so good. Anyway, our first story this week, well, actually, our first couple of stories are regarding the Amazon Echo. Yes, I know I'm a bit obsessed, but there are other news stories coming up. But this is important. Tim, actually, you brought my attention to this first one, Skype on the Amazon Echo.
Yeah, Skype actually has come to the Amazon Echo. This is an ongoing partnership between Amazon and Microsoft, of all companies, believe it or not. And Microsoft has brought Skype to Amazon Echo. And if you're using a Dot or the regular Echo, you, of course, will just do audio Skype. If you have the Echo Show or Spot, you can use the screen to do video Skype. So it is a nice addition to Amazon Echo. Now, I know at first you weren't really all that thrilled about this, but when you really think about it, when you are just using your Echo device to communicate with other people, they have to also have an Echo device. And well, as you and I believe everybody should, not everybody actually does, believe it or not. And so this is a nice way to communicate with other people who maybe don't have an Amazon device, but you can use yours to talk with them via Skype. So I really like that this kind of partnership is happening.
Yeah, now you're right. When you first mentioned this, I said, what's the point of that? Because we can already do right now Amazon Echo to Amazon Echo calling. You know, so what's the point of having Skype in there as well? But you're right. When you do think about it, Skype has millions and millions of users. It's been around for ages. Lots of people have Skype. So it does add that extra layer of, you know, just usefulness to the Echo Smart Speaker. So, okay, I'm just not really that into Skype. I think that's what it is. But yeah, it's the partnership that I find really intriguing because we've already had the Lady A app in the Windows 10 App Store. So now you can have the Amazon Echo service running on your Windows 10 computer, and it works really well. But that's not all, because we've also recently had the Cortana voice assistant from Microsoft released as a skill on Amazon Echo. So both companies have come out and publicly said, we see nothing wrong with having each other's voice assistants on each other's platforms. They think, you know, that's best. A voice assistant shouldn't just be for one thing, which is, you know, in this day and age, really unusual. So, yeah, Cortana skill on Amazon Echo, only in the US at the minute, though, Tim.
That's right. Yeah, it seems like, unfortunately, this is US only at this time. Hopefully this will cross the pond here very soon. But there is a Cortana skill available on Amazon Echo now, and it works just like you would actually think it would. Once you enable the Cortana skill, you oddly ask Lady A to launch Cortana. And then once she launches, you can use her just like you would on your Windows computer. Now, you might ask, why in the world would I ask one smart person to contact another smart Correct. Person or smart device? Well, that and you would have a point, because really Cortana, I don't think it's as robust as Lady A is. It's not bad. She can answer a lot of questions and do a lot of basic things and, you know, give you reminders and tips and answer, you know, some basic questions and things. So Cortana does do a lot of those things, but she's just not as fully featured as Lady A is. That being said, what I like about this is the productivity aspect of it. Because yes, you can already do calendars and reminders with Lady A, but Cortana, in addition to your Outlook calendar, you can also access email, whether it's Outlook, Hotmail, Gmail, anything you have set up with your Microsoft account, you can access with Cortana through your Amazon Echo device now. And I've been playing with that a little bit, sending and receiving emails, checking my mails. And so far, it's actually really nice to use. There are other skills out there that use Amazon Echo to get your emails and things, but they're a little quirky, a little clunky, but this actually works pretty nicely.
Yeah, you see, I've used those skills in the past, those email skills, and at first they seem, this is really good. But I soon stopped using them just because it was actually slower. You know, you got to wait and hear who they're from. And as you said, all the previous skills were a little bit clunky at best. But I did actually listen to you using the emails with Cortana, and it did seem nice and streamlined, and to be honest, it just seemed to work, where the other ones were a bit hit and miss.
Now, it's not fully featured yet. That is the only thing here, is that you can check your emails and listen to them, and then you can reply to an email, which is nice. But unfortunately, right now, you can't archive or delete or anything like that, but you can reply and listen, which, you know, at the moment, that's fine, but eventually it's supposed to add those other kinds of features to archive and delete and those kind of things, maybe even more things than that. But it's in basically what you could call a public beta right now, as you say. And so as time goes on, they will be adding more features. So I really like this. I think it's, again, a very interesting partnership where Lady A and Cortana become friends. I like that. Along with the Skype news, this really makes the Lady A devices, you know, the Amazon Echo devices, so much more appealing. And as a matter of fact, there was one other thing that finally came to the UK, wasn't there, with the Amazon Echo Show?
Oh, I love this. Yes, here in the UK, we finally have follow-up mode. So this has been in the US for a while, and this is something I've really wanted. So at the moment, when you use your Echo service, you need to say the wake word. So you would say something like, Lady A, what time is it? Now, if you want to do a series of commands, every time you ask a question, again, you've got to use that wake word. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but it quickly becomes annoying.
Yes, very well, quickly.
Perhaps that's just me. But with the follow-up mode enabled, you only need to use that wake word once on the first question. So, for example, you could say, Lady A, what time is it? And then straight away afterwards, once she's responded, you can just say, turn on the heating. And again, once she's responded to that, you could say, set the heating to 18. So on those last two questions, you don't need to use the wake word. And again, look, I know it sounds really trivial and, oh, you're saving a second. But when you're actually using it like that, it does feel more, I don't know, natural and less robotic. It's strange.
No, it really does feel a lot more natural. It is less robotic because you're able just to almost have a real sounding type of conversation. I mean, yes. It's not a real back and forth, although they are working on that. There are skills where you can play with that, where they're developing that kind of a thing. But that's, I mean, still far off in the future. But to be able to ask a series of questions, even if those questions have nothing to do with each other, if you want to ask for the weather, ask for a sports update, ask for the news, ask for whatever, like you said, activating something with your smart home features, whatever it is, if you have a whole bunch of things that you want to ask and get that information about, you can do that immediately without having to keep saying the name over and over and over again. I always tease, my wife and I tease, what's that, you're an 80s, 90s guy, that old song, say my name, you know, that just,
yes.
it's like, say my name, say my, it's like, oh yeah, I keep having to say her name over and over again. And it does get frustrating if you want to use your device that way. So follow-up mode is really nice. I believe it listens for an extra 5 seconds after you've asked the previous query. And so you get that extra 5 seconds. And after that, you do have to say your name again. But it is such a nice feature. I'm so glad that you guys finally got it over there.
I know. Yeah, I was so excited. Now, I will say, you do need to go into the Lady A app and turn it on for each device. So you would go to your settings tab, click on your Echo devices until you get a list of every Echo device you've got, and go into each one and swipe through until you find follow-up mode and double tap on the toggle to switch it on. I had to actually unplug each device and then plug it back in to actually activate and get it to work. But I know other people haven't had to do that. But yeah, I'm loving it. I've got to say, you do, as I said, you do still need to wait until Lady A responds to your initial question. And yes, you will carry on listening. You will actually get that, if you've got it turned on, the accessibility started listening beep. You will get that at the end of the response, so you know she's listening for a further 5 seconds. One interesting thing I have found is that I am being far more polite to her. because when she's finished and I've got no more questions, I tend to say,
thank you.
And she'll say, you bet, no problem. And it's like, oh, this is quite nice, actually, forcing me to be polite. But yeah, definitely check that out. That's the follow-up mode, finally here in the UK. Sadly, you can't use a voice command to turn it on. So at least I haven't found that works. You can't just say, turn on follow-up mode. Does that work in the US, Tim?
Not that I'm aware of. No, that works for whisper mode, although... That being said, whisper mode still only works for my wife and everyone else that isn't me. I whisper to the thing and it just is, hello. I'm like, no. I mean, my Dot 3 once in a while will let me whisper to it, but no.
Oof, Lady A doesn't. Odd.
It does sound odd, but no, Lady A doesn't like me whispering to her. And that you can turn on, just say turn on whisper mode. You can also do it in the app as well. But no, as far as I know, follow-up mode, you still have to go into the app and turn it on. But like you said, once it's turned on, it is a very nice feature.
Yeah, and let me just say, whisper mode isn't available here in the UK yet.
No.
That's another one we're waiting for. I do like the sound of that as well, but we'll have to wait for that one. Okay, so that's all the Amazon news. There's some good stuff there, but another big story that came out this week was from Flicktype. The developers announced that they are dropping the subscription pay model. Now, this is strange because we have talked about this in the past. You know, Flicktype, for those of you that don't know, is a accessible keyboard for your iPhone. It allows you to type away without having to see the letters on the keyboard. So you just tap whereabouts you think the letter should be, or you know the letters would be, and then swipe to the right, and it will guess what word you were trying to type. Sounds strange to explain, but it works so well. It really speeds you up. Initially, it was a subscription app, so you would pay, I think it was 99 cents, wasn't it, Tim?
99 cents US, I want to say it was like 79 pence UK, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. That was a month. I'm on the beta program, so actually I'm not paying at the moment. So we were having that debate about whether a monthly subscription for a keyboard, it does seem odd. You know, it's not like you're getting something new every month, like a subscription model for Netflix or Spotify, where it's all the new content you're getting. But the development on Flicktype was great. The developers themselves, Costa and Ashley, are so involved in the community. They keep us informed and keep asking our opinions on things. So I think, you know, the subscription model was actually okay. It wasn't a lot a month. And for the development that they were doing on it, we sort of said, yeah, that's fine. But as I said, this week they made an announcement that they're having issues submitting Flicktype to the Apple App Store. Apple are saying that the subscription model isn't actually appropriate for a keyboard. Sort of, again, the debates we've had in the past.
Back to what we were saying, maybe we should have not had all those conversations because Apple was listening. Hello, Apple. Hi, Tim Cook.
I feel a bit guilty now. But, I mean, they were also saying they've had problems with Apple sort of understanding that this is an assistive tech app. This is an accessibility app. So they've had problems in the past. So they've decided to drop the subscription model to take away the amount of time they're spending on talking to Apple, trying to get them to put the app in the App Store. And instead, they're going to go for a one-off purchase fee for the app. And they're asking, you know, it's not decided yet. They want to know what we think would be a appropriate price. You know what? I'm actually torn on this one now. After all the talk we've had about subscription models, I sort of think it probably was the best way to go with this. Because what is a price that you would pay for a one-time only price that could still keep the app in development and yet wouldn't cost too much for that initial payment? I don't know.
Well, therein lies the problem, Sean, because when this app in its original version years ago came out as Flexi from these developers,
yep,
I believe it was like $10 US, something like that, or $15 US, something along those lines. And it was a one-time purchase. And a lot of the reason why they sold it off, not the only reason, there's a lot of things that they go into as to why Flexi went away. But one of the reasons was because that price of a one-time purchase really wasn't sustainable for them to do ongoing development. We found that recently with Vorail, which we might get to in a moment. But it's one of those things where $10 one time really can't help them over time. It helps them initially, but over time, that's not helpful. And so that's why they really wanted to do this monthly fee now, doing the 99 cents a month or 79 cents or 79 pence a month, because that would at least get the ongoing development. And you say, well, like you said a moment ago, what's going to be ongoing developed in a keyboard app? Well, they surprise us every time we turn around. Not only are they answering all the wishes that we want them to put into the app, but then they add things that we weren't even asking for that we, well, quite honestly, would love to have. Like right now they're beta testing putting FlickType on the Apple Watch. There is no proper keyboard on the Apple Watch, not even a third party app. They're the first ones to really test that and see if it'll work. And I have beta tested it, and it works actually kind of really well for being as early in beta as it is. So yes, after all of our discussions, that small fee a month, actually, after I thought about it, and I know you felt the same way, Sean, and even Stephen, as you know, much of a you know,
curmudgeon,
pence pincher as he is, yes, as much of a curmudgeon as he is, he even came around to say, yep, it's actually worth it. I was so used to that idea. Now it's like, well, okay, well, we're going to pay more, which I don't mind, but is it going to be a one time? Is it going to be an annual fee now? Yeah. You know, what is this going to be? And like you said, they are still working on figuring out what that's going to look like, because they want to have it be sustained. They want it to be something that will continue going forward long term and not disappear and not be available to people anymore. So yeah, support your local developer, contact FlickType, let them know what you think, because it is such a great app. I truly, I tout this all the time. I really do feel like I type probably 3 or 4 times faster than I do on a regular iOS keyboard easily. And so it is such a great product, such a great service. And might I add, you couldn't ask for two better people really to be developing an app like this. They are such nice people, such good people, and they do listen to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's strange because there was, as you mentioned, Flexi before. That was a few years ago. And, you know, there was a bit of a bit of bad blood. I think that's safe to say. There was a bit of bad blood there because Flexi was released, which was basically the same as FlickType is now. And the visually impaired and blind community did invest in that, as you said, £10, £15, whatever it was at the time. And then that was bought out and made mainstream, and accessibility totally disappeared. And it was so disappointing. But this time round, they have actually addressed that point and said, look, we made a mistake. And they are being so involved and so interactive with us that, yeah, look, at the end of the day, it's a great product. It does work really well. And it'll be a shame to see it disappear. It's about finding that balance, that sweet spot, because they need to be able to earn a living, because it takes a lot of time to develop an app, you know? So they need to be able to earn a living whilst they're putting that time in. And we need to be happy with the amount we're paying, be that a subscription model or a one-off payment. My only thought is that if they can perfect FlickType on the Apple Watch, then the potential for sales is massive, because it would no longer just be an assistive tech software. Everyone would love to be able to type on the Apple Watch. If you can get that to work, the potential sales there could be huge. But yeah, look, they definitely need to be able to earn a living. Developing an app isn't easy.
No, absolutely not. And as a cheap plug, I will say, a few months back on Life After Blindness, I did interview Costa and Ashley. Oh, come on. I got to get one in every so often. I did interview the two of them, and they go into great detail about Flexi and what happened there and why that went the way it went and what they're trying to do now. So people can check that out and hear that full interview with them. But you're absolutely right. They deserve to have this work correctly, because they are trying to make up for what, you know, happened with Flexi in the past. They really are dedicated to this app into the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And very quickly, because we got to get to the emails, but you did mention Varel. Varel has now gone subscription, so that is, I think, £3.99 a month now.
Yeah, they're in the UK. It is $3.99, and that's another one up for debate, whether you're willing to pay for something like that or not. I have gone ahead and paid for it. Sean, I believe you did too.
Yep. I've gone for a month. You can pay either a year up front, but I've gone for a month. I'm going to see what happens with the app. For anyone that doesn't know, Varel is it's almost like a social media app. I like to describe it as a audio message board. Record an audio message, post it up, give it a title, and people can respond to it. Again, purely audio. It's great. It's really been taken over by the visually impaired community.
It really has.
I really like it. But, you know, now it's gone subscription only. It is going to be interesting to see if the amount of people that use it continues, or is it going to die off? And obviously, the less people that use it, it's a bit of a catch-22. You know, the less people are likely to join because it's not going to be as interesting. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens with this. But I'm quite happy to give it a try for a month or two and see what happens.
Yep, that's my plan. I'm going to pay monthly for a couple of months, see what happens with the development, if they get some of the bugs ironed out, add any new features that they've been talking about. There are a lot of new features that they've commented on saying that they want to implement into the app. If all that starts to happen over the next, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months, I may even switch my subscription to an annual subscription. But that also depends on what you said, Sean, about how many people actually do sign up and pay for the app. If there's enough people, and enough people that I want to talk to, of course, then I will stick.
Well, I'm staying, Tim. What more do you need? Well,
then I've just got you. I'll pay my $5 US a month just to talk to you, Sean.
I'm worth more, damn it.
You're worth so much more.
Thank you. Okay, let's get to the emails.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Ding dong.
Here's your mail today.
Yes, indeed. Ding dong. It's time for the emails. And of course, if it's time for the emails, that means it's time for Sighted Guy Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello again, Tech Talkers. This is slowly becoming my favorite hour of the week. It's really nice to be here again.
Oh, thank you, Chris. But slowly becoming your favorite hour? I think you'll find this is everyone's favorite hour of the week.
No, yeah, it seems like it's slowly becoming the Sighted Chris show. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
No, I know. We'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Yes.
Anyway, let's get to the first email. Chris?
Well, we have a sack full of emails once again. Can't wait to get to them. So let's start with one from Juliet, who says, "Hi, guys. I've just started listening to the podcast, and I'm interested in your discussion on learning Braille. I have been partially sighted since birth, but have lost more sight over the last year, so I decided to learn Braille. I got the fingerprint course from RNIB back in October, and now wonder if I got one of the last ones."
Probably.
"On a recent episode, you talked about the formats it comes in. I got the instructions on a multimedia CD that has a read file and DAISY audio. I put the audio files on my iPad, so it's all pretty accessible. The course itself is good, but a bit weird. I'm not very far through, and I don't have a brailler, so I use Perky Duck on my laptop for typing practice. Once I've finished the course, I'd be happy to send it on to any of you if you still can't get hold of it and still want it. I also wrote a blog post about learning Braille. You can find it, whosaodthat.wordpress.com. I'll spell that for you, whosaodthat.wordpress.com. I'm really enjoying the show. It's very helpful for a tech newbie. Very best from Juliet."
Oh, well, thank you, Juliet. We're helpful for newbies, Sean.
Yes, well, we're all newbies at something. The Braille debate goes on and on. It's strange that it really has seemed to hit a nerve with people, and people are really responding to it. You know, for so long, Braille was just, it's dying off, but people still love it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be dead. Yeah, it's really interesting. Like we said, it's been said to have been dying or dead for so long. Nobody wants it. Nobody uses it. Only a handful of people still actually use it. And all of a sudden, it's, well, no, actually, everybody wants to learn it if they haven't already, or they're going to learn it. I wonder if that has anything to do with the lowering cost and the heightened technology of Braille displays, something like the Orbit, things like that. We talked about this a while back, Sean, where we said, I think you and I and even Stephen predicted that if the prices of these devices could come down and the technology kept getting better, it could possibly cause a resurgence in people wanting to learn Braille. I think we should take credit for that.
Oh, of course, we'll take credit. If Stephen was here, you know that would have been his idea. But of course, we'll take credit.
It's all his idea. Yes.
No, it's definitely a point. And I'm really interested in these fingerprint books because people are saying they're slightly weird or slightly odd. Now, I really want to know what the story is. So I think I'm going to have to take this up and just to find out the interesting story.
Well, it'll be interesting to us because, well, everybody knows us. Define weird and odd to us, of all people.
No, that's great. Thank you, Juliet. And yes, do check out her blog. I'll be checking out after. Chris, another email.
We have another email here from Kowal who says, hello, I just listened to the podcast yesterday and really enjoyed the bit about shortcuts, but still don't understand how to do them. Could you please ask Tim to do a podcast, please, to make an Apple shortcut? Then do one, as I don't understand the concepts of how to build one and make it work. I am probably missing something as I tried to do it, but it didn't work. Thank you from Kowal.
Well, thank you for that, Kowal. And yeah, we're having a bit of a discussion on this, Sean, on how to properly present Siri shortcuts, because there are some easy, simple ways to do shortcuts. There's some built-in ways. If you go to the Siri shortcut area of your settings, there's actually a lot of things in there that automatically pop up that you can record your voice to, or that you know you can use a shortcut with. And that's the easiest way to do it. A lot of apps now are putting Siri shortcuts right into the app. And that's the best, easy way to do it. If you go to the Siri Shortcuts app, there's a gallery of things that you can get there. So they have them by heading or by listing and category. You can even search for things to see if it's in that gallery. And that's another great way to find more, I'd say, advanced shortcuts that you can do. Yeah. And the nice thing about that is if you get one of those shortcuts, you click the button to say get shortcut, and then you go to your library of shortcuts and edit it. So look, just act like you're editing that shortcut. It will then show you how that shortcut is made. So any of them you get in the gallery, you can look. And that's a lot of how I learned to do it. I know, Sean, you did too. A lot of hours watching YouTube videos and listening to other people describe how they build shortcuts. But then, of course, you can create your own from scratch. And that's where it gets a bit tricky, because I wouldn't say you have to know programming. I don't think that that's fair to say you have to know programming. I know very little, if any, programming, and I've been able to build a couple of shortcuts from scratch. But it's all a matter of, okay, I've got to capture this, send it to this, and then have it do this. Kind of the if this, then that model. So if you want to capture some text, you have to tell it, get that text. Now, what are you going to do with that text? Where do you want to send it to? And then what do you want it to do after that? And it's just all of a order of operations. Do you think that's a right way to look at it there, Sean?
Yeah, it is. It is difficult to sort of understand. As I said before, I think it does muddy it a little bit that there's Siri shortcuts over here in this section, and then you've got the shortcuts app. So I can understand why people get slightly, I don't know where even to start with this. But yeah, I think that was a good explanation. But I will say that, Tim, stop dodging it and just get a feature done.
Well, that's the thing, though, is I think it's going to be more than just a feature. The simpler ones where I say, okay, go into Siri shortcuts, that's very easily, I think, explained and walked through. And as you say, it is muddy, but then once you start doing it, it does become clearer and you understand why it's separate. At first, you say, well, why do I have all these different ways to access Siri shortcuts? Well, it does make sense once you really start to break that down and looking at it in those different, three or four different ways that you can access shortcuts. And so a smaller feature, an easier feature would be that. And I'm very happy to do that and do maybe a voiceover walkthrough of getting into settings, showing people what the shortcuts are able to do that are already automatically there and demonstrate that. But then after that is when it gets a little tricky, because when you dive into the shortcuts app itself and building one, it depends on what you want to do with it. There are so many good shortcuts out there. There's one that you can ask Siri to automatically take a picture, not just say take a picture and have it launch the app, but literally launch the app and then hit the take picture button automatically. So you don't even have to be at the phone to do it. There's some that you can have it capture text or the body of an article on the internet and then automatically read it to you. There's so many different things you can do. So it just comes down to what is it that you're looking to do and then building it from there. And there are, like I've said in the past, there's some great resources. Check out YouTube for Siri shortcut videos. The app that I mentioned before called ShareCuts.com. That's a really good website to get some more information. Reddit, if anybody has access to Reddit, go on Reddit and look up Siri shortcuts. There's some great ones there that people share. But yes, the long answer that I'm ducking is I'll do the short demonstration of some of the smaller ways to do it. The longer in-depth way may be more of like a university course, but we'll see.
Well, even that answer from Tim felt like a university lecture. That was so long. But
sorry.
I totally get what Tim's saying there. Trying to even know where to start to explain creating a shortcut from scratch, it's difficult, especially with the time we've got. So, we will look into it, and I'll get Tim to do it. Don't worry. Okay. Chris, next email.
Our next email comes from Rachel. She says, "Hi, team. I just wanted to say well done, Stephen, for going ahead and getting hold of that fingerprint braille course. That's a course I certainly tend to use for my own teaching, especially for touch readers. The author was visually impaired himself, and so the whole learning scheme focuses heavily on strategies that can be used in order to establish a sound touch reading technique. I also like the fact that each lesson provides plenty of reading and writing practice, allowing learners to practice both these aspects of learning in tandem. I look forward to updates regarding your progress, Stephen, and wishing you every success with your Braille learning journey. I also just wanted to promote a fantastic point of help, support, and just general Braille-related chatter for any Facebook user out there. Braille Support Group is there for anyone with any interest whatsoever in Braille. Braille teachers, parents of children who use Braille, and those learning Braille can join up with others for advice, support, and generally just to talk all things Braille. So do track the group down on Facebook. We're a very welcoming bunch. Thanks, guys. Loving the show as ever, from Rachel."
Thanks, Rachel.
Aww, thank you, Rachel. That sounds great. And will we get an update from Stephen? I've got to say, I have spoken to him since he's got the fingerprint book and everything, and he is genuinely really trying to learn it. He's got a real interest in it. I don't know if he's started yet, but I know he's got everything together and he's all ready to go. So yeah, hopefully we'll have some updates soon. And yeah, of course, look, Facebook's got so many useful groups on there. I'm a member of a few of the visually impaired groups, and this sounds like another fantastic resource, so definitely check that out.
Yeah, Facebook's really good for that. There's a lot of really great Facebook groups, Life After Blindness being one of them, but there are so many.
Three!
Hey, you know, the cat's away, the mice will play. Yeah, so no, she's absolutely right. The Braille groups and so many other good groups out there, so check that out.
Okay. Next email, Chris.
Okay, so here's an email from Paul. He says, "Hi there. I loved the shortcuts that were sent in by Wayne last week. I would love to get a hold of them. They were great. As a Braille reader, it might be a good idea to have a reverse dictionary, e.g. dots, 1, 2, 3. Answer, that is L.
Yeah.
Although I have been a Braille user for over 50 years, I know a number of blind people who might find this talking dictionary useful. Keep telling us about apps and other great tech. From Paul."
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, look, Wayne has really, he's been so impressive with those shortcuts he's done, particularly that Braille one. I thought that was amazing. Now, I don't know, Tim, you're the master. How easy is it to share these?
It's actually very easy to share these. What you can do is through the Shortcuts app, you share it or save it, I should say, to your iCloud, to your Files account, and then it creates a link that you can just send to anyone. So when you have that link, you can post it on the web, you can text it to somebody, email it to somebody, what have you. So for anybody who wants that, let us know. And if we don't already have that link from Wayne, I think we do, but if we don't, we'll get the link from him for that particular shortcut and we can share it with people. Or maybe we can post it between all of us. We have enough websites. We can post it somewhere that we can make it available for people, maybe make some other shortcuts available as well. But yeah, it's very easy to do.
Fantastic. Yeah, we'll double check with Wayne and maybe we can tweet the link out or get it out there somehow. Chris.
A short one here from Keith. He says, "Hi to all at Tech Talk. A bit of info for anyone still struggling with the voiceover issues mentioned the other week. All I did to sort out the TTS voice was open VoiceOver Utility. In the file menu, select Reset All VoiceOver Preferences, Reset Your Desired Voice, and Speed Settings, etc. And that's it. Regards, from Keith."
Well done.
Yes, thank you, Keith. I'm sure this would work for most people as well. Again, this relates back to a problem. We had an email a few weeks back that when you update your macOS, sometimes the text-to-speech settings seem to go a little bit crazy. I've experienced it myself on a MacBook Air. The first time I did an update, it totally lost its speech. It didn't have any voices downloaded at all. We got an email a couple of weeks ago saying with another solution, go into VoiceOver Utilities and customize the speech voices there. The problem is that I've spoken to quite a few people now, and there doesn't seem to be a one fix for all. Sometimes if you go in and customize your speech voices one by one, it won't remember it. This from Keith, I'm sure, would fix many problems, but it just seems that it is a problem that can pop up again once you have fixed it. So, yeah, this is a quirky thing, but unfortunately, I can't find a consistent answer for it. But definitely try this. I'm sure this will fix, as I said, most of the problems. It's just hopefully if it stays fixed, that is the issue. But again, thanks a lot, Keith. Okay, Chris.
A great one here from Charlotte. She says, hello again. Just a wee note to thank all of you for taking the time to give me such a detailed response to my query about buying a dot. Very much appreciated. Although I am still swithering, you have certainly convinced my husband that a dot would be useful. Well, he is now reminding me that I have lots and lots of earrings. Money could be better spent. In my last email, I mentioned my unreliable internet, but didn't go into any details. Perhaps your combined expertise can provide an explanation for its odd behaviour. Most of the time, it buzzes away quite the thing. The email's weak in and out, and the internet in general is accessible. However, every so often, it just isn't there. It isn't a problem with the router. Every device in the house is registering 3 out of 3 bands of Wi-Fi, but it's gone. After some time, it returns, usually after an hour or two. If it still isn't playing by tea time, it's a case of switching everything off, reciting address to the haggis, then switching everything back on. This usually does the trick, and for days or weeks, everything buzzes away happily again. Of course, this always happens on the day I have planned to write lots of emails or have a morning's shopping online. What do you think is going on? Just down the street, round the corner, is one of those buzzing cabinet things. So although I live in a remote place, I'm not that far from one of those vital boxes. Once again, thank you so much for all your information last week. And no, the Voice Memos app isn't footery. If I can use it, anybody can. Cheers from Charlotte and Guide Dog Christy.
Oh, thank you, Charlotte. And
thank you, Charlotte.
I can't believe you haven't bought a dot yet. I agree with your husband. That's less earrings, more dots in the world. That's what we need.
Absolutely, I agree with that. And absolutely, the Voice Memos app is just fine. As a matter of fact, there's a Siri shortcut that if you say you record memo, it automatically launches, automatically hits the record button. It's so nice. I don't think I'll ever use a handheld dictaphone again, but yeah, it works really well.
So let's get onto the internet, Tim. What have you any ideas on this?
You know, she seems like she's tried some of the things I would have thought about resetting the router or the router in this case. You guys have trained me well and reset the router and, you know, checking settings. But as far as the intermittent drop, she's close enough that it shouldn't be an issue. I'm not really honestly very sure what else could be wrong.
No, it is a really tricky one because you need to find out if it's a Wi-Fi issue or an actual internet connection issue. So is it actually the internet, as you said, between the telephone cabinet and your house that's the issue, or your provider dropping the internet? Or is it a case of the internet is fine, it's just the Wi-Fi connection between your router and all your devices? It's really hard to say. As you said, all your devices are showing, you know, full signal for Wi-Fi access. It would suggest that maybe it's an internet issue. I would check with your provider. So go to your internet provider, give them a call and just say, I'm having issues here. I just want to check. It's the, you know, it's not on the internet side rather than the Wi-Fi side, and see what they say. If it is Wi-Fi, then there's a few things you can try, changing from 2.4 gigahertz to 5 gigahertz, you know, resetting the router as you've done, but reset it to factory defaults. It could be some interference, but there's so many issues. I think the best place to start is probably just give your internet provider a ring and see what they say.
Yeah, I think that's really the best thing to do. A lot of us try to avoid calling tech support because we think we can, you know, Sean and I do at least, we try to think we can do it. But there are those times where you just have to give in and call tech support, because I've had to do this in the past for this exact same reason, where I knew I should be getting a much better connection and download rate than I was. And I spent time on the phone to tech support. And not only did they fix the connection, but they made the download rate go up by probably 5 or 6 times. But it was things they had to do on their end, that nothing that I had to do, they had to do. So I think that's worth a phone call.
Yeah, and let us know. Get back in touch with us and let us know how you get on.
Another short email here from Rod, who says, "Hi, Stephen. I wonder if you have noticed that Sean has cloth ears. This Amazon Echo Dot 3rd Gen sounds really soggy. It may have more bass, but it's like mud. I sent mine back and ordered another 2nd generation. This new version is also slightly slower to respond. Perhaps Sean needs his ears cleaning. Cheers from Rod."
How dare you, Rod? Unbelievable. Well, look, I've got to say, on its own, it's not going to compare with, you know, high-end hi-fi or even your average Bluetooth speaker. But I'm comparing it to the Dot 2. The 3rd generation Dot is night and day better audio quality from the built-in speaker than the Dot 2. I am just really surprised that you would send that one back and get the Dot 2 instead, because it is just so much better. Now, I'll agree with you. It can sound a little bit muddy in the mid-range. But, you know, if you compare it and the price of it, if you compare it to the Dot 2, there is absolutely night and day difference. So, or it could be that I am going deaf. My girlfriend does say that a lot. but I've got to say, I'm really surprised by that. But and for the slow response, I didn't experience that at all.
Yeah, you know, Sean, I wasn't too sure. I had listened to you demonstrate the Dot 3 for me, and it sounded great, you know, listening to it over the internet, you know, but who really knows until you use it for real? And compared to my Dot 2, I did a side-by-side demonstration, and as good as I always thought the Dot 2 was, the Dot 3, I think, is much superior, or far more superior. It is a heavy bass. That being said, the Lady A app does have settings for bass, mid-range, and treble. So if you feel it's a little heavy, you can change that and get it to equalize a little bit better. I have done that because I thought the bass was a little bit heavy. But once I played around with the mid-range and the higher end a little bit, it sounds so good. And compared to the Dot 2, it is, I believe, a night and day difference. The sound and volume level of it is much, much better. It's clearer. It's not as tinny. Maybe tinny is not the right word, but compared to to the Echo 2, the Echo 2 or the Dot 2, I never thought of it as tinny without hearing the 3, but now I do.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it's all subjective, and absolutely, if you didn't think it was worth it, then you're absolutely right to send it back. And I can't sit here and say it's the best sounding thing in the world, because, you know, as I said, it's subjective. But yeah, I just comparing it to the Dot 2 and even the Google Home Mini. I think it does sound better than those.
Yep.
Let me just say as well, you can adjust the equalizer just using your voice, so you can say, "Lady A, turn the bass down, turn up the treble," whatever you want to say. So, yeah, Rod, it's a fair point. I may have cloth ears. Chris?
An email for Tim now from Peter, who says, "Hi, Stephen and the gang. I am hoping Tim can help me. Many years ago, I bought an Audible Spirit Level from the American Foundation for the Blind. It is packed up after many years' service. I have tried to contact them with no success. Could you point me in the right direction as to the best people to contact? Yes, I know that Cobalt sell them, but their spirit levels are too small, only 9 inches long, and they are not very responsive and too quiet, especially if one is working outdoors. Many thanks from Peter Brown."
Hello, Peter. Well, yes, I have been looking into this, and you're right. AFB, for whatever reason, seems to have closed up shop, at least online, and they do have a phone number on their website you can call for shopping, but it still doesn't seem as though they carry this particular level anymore. Now, I have been researching this last several days. Like I said, I got so frustrated. Even my wife started researching for me, trying to help me out, because I just wasn't finding this individual device anymore anywhere. I did finally go to MaxiAids.com, a very popular accessibility page, sells a lot of things, MaxiAids, and they have one, but unfortunately it's built in with a tape measure and other things all rolled into one. Now they all talk, it's all audio, and it is a nice leveler, the Spirit Leveler, but I believe US price, it was like $150 or $160 and higher, depending on the size and everything you needed. So I don't know if that's in your price range, but it did include the Spirit Leveler there. But again, it's built in with all these other features. So I don't know if that helps, but that seems to be the only one that I can find anywhere on the internet. And again, my wife as well, she did her best, and that's the best one we can come up with. So hopefully that helps. If not, let me know.
Well, I would love to help out with this question, but I'm absolutely terrible at anything DIY, so the closest I can do is pick up the phone and call someone and get someone around to do it for me. But yeah, I hope that helps, Peter. And thanks, Jen. Thank you, Mrs. Schwartz.
Thank you, Jen.
But let's not give up. Maybe one of our listeners knows. So if you know where Peter can get hold of a large, loud spirit level, get in touch. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. Okay, Chris, another email.
Well, our next email is provided by Wayne.
Uh-oh.
Sean and Stephen, I'm not missing you out, Tim. It's just about the Braille. Mm-hmm. Just a useful tip for you both. When you are starting to learn Braille, you will feel your fingertips become a bit numb or tingling. That's just because you're stimulating the nerve endings in the finger.
Ooh.
The best thing to do is to work for maybe 5 minutes or so at a time to let the finger rest and then get back at it after 10 minutes or so. It's the old adage, learning something by doing it little but often. Sean, I have taught older people in their 70s Braille, and yes, it makes no difference about the person's age. That was really just an ageist perspective from the old days. Honestly, having Braille in your toolbox just makes some things solvable. You can get away with grade 1 Braille, which, with patience, can be learnt fairly straightforwardly. The full contraction set does need commitment, but grade 1 should be achievable by someone as talented as yourself. Good. Come on, young man, get up on that horse and ride to the battlefront. Best wishes from Wayne.
Yes, Sean, ride to the battlefront. Get up on that horse.
Hey, listen, you had me at young man. Oh, amazing. Thank you, Wayne. No, you know what? I just need to do it. I sit here week after week saying, oh, wouldn't Braille be so useful? I would love to learn it, but doing absolutely nothing about it. It does help when you get friends around you, like, I said friends, let's say people like Stephen. No, I'm joking. When you get friends around you like Stephen who are seriously trying to learn it and that, you know, they've actually taken that first step, it does push you in the right direction. And I keep making excuses, you know, I'm too old and I've left it too late. And that's patently not true by the emails that we've got here. So, yeah, you know what? I need to get off my butt and just start. I think that's the thing. So thank you, Wayne, and thanks for the tips on fingers as well. The fingertips. Hey, thanks for that. Yeah, I'll leave that one there. Anyway, Chris. Oh, hang on, just to say that Wayne's, should we say personal assistant or alter ego, Lorraine, has also sent some audio in. We'll get to that at the end of the show. Sorry, Chris, go on.
And our final email today is from Alex, who says, hi guys, thank you for the warm welcome. Since my last email and listening to what you guys thought, I agree with Steve. It does definitely take some getting used to after being trained by Apple for years to use a home button. Since the last show, my girlfriend, who is totally blind and is in two minds on whether or not to upgrade this year from an iPhone 7, had a play with my XS Max, and she did struggle. Apparently, she kept using 3D Touch instead of going home, etc. So for someone who has no vision and is having to relearn anything, it can be a little overwhelming. Thanks from Alex Ramzan.
Yeah, thanks for that, Alex. You know what? It's funny. Apple has been training us for so many years to use that home button, and now they just totally switch it up on us. I know Steven finally got used to it. As I've talked about before, I've used it on other people's phones. It does take getting used to, just the difference between swiping up and the 3D Touch, but I think give it some time and it'll get better.
Yeah, people still aren't quite sure on this. The people I talk to, there seems to be a bit of a split. Most of the people say for the first few days, it's hard work, you know, getting used to it. So this is all to do with the new iPhone X design of no home button. So you need to use gestures to go to the app switcher or go to the home screen. It's all swiping up on the screen. Now, yeah, Tim is absolutely right. I think it is just we don't like change, and it's understandable. We got to get used to it. But most people will say that after a couple of days, it does become, you know, again, like second nature. So I totally understand people being slightly hesitant about it, but it's not going away. I don't think the home button's going to come back. So it's something we just have to get used to. I know Stephen is looking and has been looking at some work around, you know, the assistive touch button maybe for an on-screen home button. But I'm not entirely sure that's the best way to go. You know, I think it's just a case of biting the bullet, putting the time in and learning it, even though that is a little bit daunting. Anyway, that's it for the emails, I think. Chris, thank you so much.
No problem, Tech Talkers. Pleasure to be here, as always, and I'll be back with you next Tuesday.
It's a date.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Chris, and maybe next week he'll have a new microphone that works. Anyway, we're running out of time, but before we go, I want to play this audio. I haven't heard this yet, from Wayne, or is it Lorraine?
Hello, everyone. It's Lady Lorraine. I have a special message for my fellow presenter, Sean. Sean, my lovely wee English man. I've been listening to the Tech Talk Show waiting patiently to hear your lovely voice. I know I've been naughty and made you a little jealous of my wee Bonnie Charlie side to Guy Chris. You really mustn't worry. You, of course, are my most special English man. You're my St. George, my podcasting hero. To show my feelings for you, Sean, I'm playing a little ditty for a few seconds. Can you guess the title of the song? It's from a famous band who are on the pictures just now. I've only been playing for a few weeks, so you must laugh with me, not at me. There's something I'd like you to do for me, my wee St. George. No, not that. It's a family show. Have a go at grade one Braille. It's just 26 letters and it is extraordinarily handy. For example, medication boxes are all printed with Braille in grade one, and so when you're poorly, you won't get mixed up with the pills belonging to all of those women in your house. You can join in with Super Steve and have a manly, chivalric, Braille competition. St. George versus Super Steve. Who would win? Anyway, my wee hero, I want to share a special thought. When that email jingle plays and I hear your voice, it brings a lovely smile to my face. I'd like you to think of me when you say your jingle phrase. Yes, that's right. It's ding, dong. So my St. George, not too saintly though. Toodle pip for now. I'm looking forward to the next thing, dong, in your next jingle. Oh, did you guess the song?
Very good.
Well, Sean, you definitely have a fan. I don't know whether I should be jealous or thrilled that wasn't sent to me.
You know what? Look, I know it's only a speech synth, but my love for Lorraine Kelly is so strong, I think I can look past that. Amazing. No wonder they wouldn't let me hear that before they played it in. Lorraine, thank you so much. That means something special to me. Okay, that's it for Tech Talk this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with my terrible accent and horrendous voice. I appreciate it. Don't forget, you can always check out the Tech Talk podcast. You'll find us in your favourite podcast app or on Audioboom. Mr. Stephen Scott will be back next week with his TechShare special, so make sure you check that out. If there's anyone that can get tech news out of an event, it's Stephen. He doesn't quit. And of course, thank you, Tim.
Thank you very much, Sean, the love of Lorraine's life, and thank you for having me.
Stop it. Okay, that's it. See you next time.